Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number one, brought to you by GoPSURV.com, celebrating the return of the fans. Mark is offering up a free RV to a lucky winner for the Ball State, the first home game of the season. To enter to win, all you got to do is get the Keystone Sports app on your smartphone. You'll see a button there that allow you to register. That's all there is to do it. And for more info, you can go to gopsurv.com or you can call Mark directly at 800-519-8467. It is quarter number one. I'm Jim Galante along with Andrew P. Shea. We'll have Ross Tucker along a little bit later for Tucker's Tape and Ask Ross. Andy, let's start out with the news of the week. And it's still the same thing it was about the last several weeks. It's about recruiting. And all those visits in June paid off in a big way. Six commits in the last week. You surprised by that at all?
No. No. Simple answer, no. We talked about back in June when campuses were open back up, right? And in-person visits were allowed. You know, we kind of sort of were like, we gave you a little bit of foreshadowing of get ready because James Franklin and his staff, but particularly James, is back in his element, right? Let's just, COVID hit everybody in terms of their programs a lot of different ways. But James, the person, and James selling the university and selling his program in person is completely different than Zoom. It is for everybody, but particularly for James Franklin. I thought all along that the COVID would impact him on the recruiting front because he's so good at, you know, the in-person angle of it. Because he's a very good people person. It's a people business. He's not only good with the recruits, he's good with the parents, he's good with the grandparents, the brothers, the sisters, the aunts, the uncles. There isn't a box he doesn't check with that. So give him a month of in-person recruiting, and of course you're going to yield results, but it was going to always take some time. And I always thought there would be a 4, 5, 6 commit explosion. I didn't ever think it was going to be a trickle. I said, let him run through, give him some time, and then you'll start to see the fruits of his labor, and they'll be very, very favorable for Penn State. So to answer your question, absolutely not. This is not a surprise. And it doesn't surprise me that James Franklin is doing this well. It's what he does well.
Well, I think the only part of this that surprised me is I expected it to take a couple weeks. I didn't expect it to all happen in the first week of July. So, you know, it's great news for Penn State fans. And I think the biggest get in all of that was Nick Singleton. If I get this correct, I believe he's ranked as the number two player in the state of Pennsylvania. And one of the issues with Penn State recruiting the last couple of years is getting that very top-end guy in the state of PA. So I think getting Nick Singleton went even beyond just, hey, he's a really good player. I think the fact that he's one of the top PA players and they wanted him so badly, it means a lot for the program.
Yeah, I know James has, you know, there are some that believe that James is a dominate the state guy. And initially when he came in, I understood it. And I still think it matters. It mattered this year after a bad year, certainly. I mean, the 2022 class, Pennsylvania kind of became important. And there's a second wave to this. Don't forget, Jim, you have to look at each class individually in terms of the talent inside Pennsylvania, right? Is it a strong class? Is it a weak class? Last year was a fairly strong class. I'd put this year as maybe a little bit deeper class. At the top end in 2021, there was a lot a lot to be had at the top end, and Pennsylvania didn't get it. What did they get? One of the top 10 players?
Correct.
In Pennsylvania last year. So with the haul, with Nick Singleton and, you know, the haul that Penn State got with the transfer from Lackawanna Junior College, they now have, what, four or five of the top eight guys in Pennsylvania, and they're in deep and in looking pretty good shape with another one. So they are sort of looking at that as a refocus to sort of try and get some of it. And it's not a surprise. It is always good for Penn State. On the surface, it's always good. But I also think James looks around for a lot. Looks around. He does recruit nationally. And when he's doing that, he's looking for the right player. It's not always the best player sometimes. But I think he's looking for the right players. He's looking for the right players in Pennsylvania. But he's also looking for the best players in Pennsylvania. That's the difference in my mind.
And the fact that they got, you know, like I said, Nick Singleton, this is after some highly publicized misses at the top of the classes for the state of Pennsylvania, it becomes, you know, extra important. One of the things, though, with Singleton, just to follow up there, Andy, was the story sure. that came out was a couple weeks ago, we saw all of this, Singleton is leaning towards Notre Dame. Well, apparently the story has come out that he was about ready to pull the trigger and commit to Notre Dame immediately after that visit. And the family said, hey, let's cool your jets just a little bit. Let's get home. Let's talk about it a little bit longer. And in that time frame, Penn State re-entered the mix and took over. That's a fascinating insight into how this recruiting stuff works.
Remember last week I said it was two schools and he wanted to go to both, right? And it's a hard decision to decide between those two. It's the right decision, you know, parents, and I know Nick and I've seen him play and I'm, you know a little bit about his family. And that's a smart, they have not been very quote-unquote involved in his recruiting. But if you're going to step in a moment and say, okay, yeah, you love Notre Dame today, you're ready to commit. Walking away from South Bend, you're ready to commit. And it makes sense football-wise in my eyes as well, because I think he's a good fit as a running back for how Notre Dame uses a running back. But they're like, let's just let this settle in a little bit and let's look at everything in the big picture. In other words, you gave James a second chance. They didn't do it to give James a second chance, but that's smart advice to him and him heeding that advice from his folks. Good for him. It gave James a second chance. Oh, man, that's not good for Notre Dame. And it turned out not that way. You give James a second crack. Ohio State kind of opened the door and gave James a second crack at Micah Parsons. Turned out pretty good for Micah and for Penn State. You can't give James a second chance like that. He is that good. James versus Brian Kelly in recruiting. On a lot of fronts, Notre Dame has advantage. But when it comes to personal relationships and one-on-one, James crushes him.
Well, he did obviously did well with this year's class so far. And that comes on the heels of, you know, a not-so-great 21 class. And even going further back prior to COVID with the 20 class, Penn State, James Franklin really needed to get some wins here with the 2022 recruiting class. Andy, I want to shift gears. And I think the new topic besides recruiting that we're probably going to hit on every week is NIL, name, image, likeness. The big story this week came out of Miami with the Miami Hurricanes. There's a gym down there, and this is not like just a single gym. They have, I believe, 40-some gyms around the South Florida area. And they have committed to give each scholarship Miami Hurricane player $500 a month to endorse or publicize the gym. So that works out to $6,000 a year per scholarship player. The grand total for the gym comes out to a little more than $500,000. I think it's $540,000, I believe, that they're putting out.
Yeah.
My question to you is, in general, is this the first shoe to drop in unintended consequences, or is this the way name, image, and likeness is supposed to work?
Yeah, I don't think this is the way in my opinion, I don't think, having looked at the landscape just in a week, right? I followed along and read some stuff about how players, you know, were doing this in football and across a bunch of other sports, what they were doing initially out of the gate, because it was interesting to see how it came out of the gate. And when we were talking about this last week, one of the things that always was kind of stuck with me was sort of the booster. And this feels like a booster prospect only because of, A, he's hired a marketing company, okay, to deal with this. And that's smart business. That's not a bad business decision. But he also, one of the things he said was he wants to attract better players and give them an opportunity to come to the University of Miami. This feels like a recruiting tool to me. When you say attracting better players, the name, image, and likeness, it's always going to bleed into recruiting because recruiting is part of the game, right, Jim? We can't say we don't want this to be in recruiting. Yeah, in a perfect world, we could say that, but it's not going to be like that. This feels like a guy who wants his program and has the, you know, resources to do something like this. He wants better players to consider this as part of coming to the University of Miami. I don't think that sort of is the overarching intention of name, image, and likeness. It's for the players that are already there, but it's also for the players who aren't already there. I don't think that's the intention.
I understand what you're saying about his intentions. It obviously is something to entice players to go to Miami as opposed to taking advantage of, again, of their name, image, and likeness, especially when you consider the 85th man on the roster is getting the same amount as the star quarterback. How could they be of equal value, which is supposed to be comparable to the value that they're providing to the company? But I got to say, in a way, I don't mind the end result, which is that all the players are getting some, no one's getting rich from it, but they're all getting $6,000, which isn't a bad take for a college kid.
Now, in a different scenario, the 85th guy in the roster that you mentioned, I think if you're the 85th guy, you're like, heck yeah, good for me, right? And good for him. But I don't think this fits the, you know, doesn't fit the name, image, and likeness in my eyes in terms of what the design of it was. It's more recruiting tool than anything, Jim. I mean, everybody benefits from it, but to me, it feels like a recruiting tool.
All right, that'll be the final note on that. Andy, coming up, we have Ross with Tucker's Tape. Stay tuned. Fans are back, and so is tailgating. That means GoPSURV.com is also back. Regular listeners of Keystone Sports know all about it. Drive your car to Happy Valley, and an RV is there waiting for you. Tailgate nonstop from Friday to Sunday. Don't hassle with parking, as a free shuttle will take you to and from the game. For more info, go to GoPSURV.com or call Mark at 1-800-519-8467.
In a world of over 100 hard seltzers swimming in a sea of sameness and mediocrity, a hero emerges. Introducing Seagram's Hard Seltzer, the greatest of all time. So go ahead, awaken your taste buds and bring the thrill back to bubbles with fruit-infused flavor combinations that are refreshingly new and deliciously different. Seagram's Hard Seltzer. Kick it with the GOAT.
Flavored malt beverages. Enjoy responsibly. The Seagram Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.